We're the Satellite Sisters.
We're the Satellite Sisters.
I'm Sheila Dolan here with my sisters, Liz, Leon, and Julie.
Monica Dolan is in Portland, Oregon.
Welcome to You're the Best Encore Interviews from the Satellite Sisters.
Former President Bill Clinton, welcome to Satellite Sisters.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear your voice.
We're talking to Nora Ephron.
What a thrill
to have Julia Louis-Dreyfus on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, this is fun for us. I loved this book. I laughed. I cried. Elizabeth Gilbert, welcome to Satellite Sisters.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome to You're the Best Encore Interviews.
Encore Interviews from the Satellite Sisters.
From the Satellite Sisters. This is Leanne Dolan. I'm here with my sisters, Liz Dolan and Julie Dolan. And today on our Encore Interview series, oh, you are the best, J.J. Abrams. Liz, I was excited to talk to him in 2003 because I was a huge Alias fan. I am even more excited now to listen to this interview with Star Wars coming out in a few months. That will be a J.J. Abrams-driven project. I cannot believe it. I loved listening to this interview again.
Yeah, I don't think people realize what a stepping stone Satellite Sisters was to fame and fortune. You know, how many guests we had on early in their career who went on to greatness. J.J. Abrams is just one of many.
Leon, was it because at one point in the interview, J.J. says, Leon, wow, you're amazing. Is that why you want to listen to the interview?
You can hear I'm so excited to talk to him. I barely let him get a word in edgewise, which if you're listening for interviewing technique, that's not good. Like to have a big time guest on and then not let him speak, it's not a good idea. But I was really in the throes of Alias, which was his Jennifer Garner show. It came after his show Felicity. This was his next show. I was a huge Alias fan. And I just want to cast people's mind back because this was done in 2003. And that's when reality TV had just started to hit. And here's the thing. I was a working mother with young kids working 6 days a week on Satellite Sisters, getting up, doing that show in the grind. The last thing I wanted when I turned on my television set at night was reality. Okay. I wanted to be taken away in a CIA plane with Jennifer Garner and Sidney Bristow. And I so loved Alias. And I think that comes through in the interview, but I'm telling you, if you are a Star Wars fan, you need to listen to this because I think there is some insight into where the new Star Wars movie is headed. Mm-hmm. Because he mentions, he basically the idea for Alias, which is about a super spy, he took Felicity, which he had run, and then he said, what if Felicity was a CIA agent? Because that would give us so much story. You know, we'd have so much more story than just the relationship piece of it. So if you listen to him, he talks about his love of genre work, like science fiction, and melding that with relationship writing. That's why I loved Alias, and I think that's what we're going to see in Star Wars. I'm just saying, people. I'm just saying. I think we know where we're headed with Star Wars. A lot of relationships.
That is good, and that I hope so. I think I would really enjoy that. Don't you also think that this could be an ideal time for Jennifer Garner to come back in Alias?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yes.
Just listening to this interview, I was like, I love that show too. Why not bring it back? Jennifer's free now.
She needs to get out of reality. She does.
Yes, she does. She's got, yeah. So I think we should start some online campaign to bring back Alias. That was a good show.
You know, the other thing that's funny in this that we do not mention in this interview, you know, the co-star was Bradley Cooper on Alias. You know, he had like a minor role, and he's such a minor role. We don't even talk about him. And now he's a giant
I had
star.
Totally forgotten that.
Yeah. Bradley Cooper was like the poor roommate that had thought Jennifer Garner worked at a bank, you know? He was like beat up and thrown out of a car at one point in Alias. So all I can say is when I told my kids I had talked to J.J. Abrams, first of all, they didn't believe me. So I'm just glad that we dug up this interview so that they can listen to it and I will have legitimacy because pretty much all we talk about at my house now is Star Wars 2015. Pretty much most of our conversations. So this is our Satellite Sisters conversation with J.J. Abrams from 2003, people.
I am so thrilled we have the creator and executive producer of Alias with us. So maybe he can give us some hints about what's going to happen this
season. I'm sure
he's
going to tell you, Leon.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. J.J. Abrams is with us. J.J., thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Now, there might be a few listeners who have not actually seen Alias. So I'm going to try, J.J., just to describe the plot as simply as I can.
Cool.
Okay. Because, you know, it's only a 3-hour show. So okay. I can't do it fully.
Okay.
But here we go. We have Sidney Bristow as a CIA super agent. single-handedly freeing the world of terrorists, armed dealers, and other bad guys. She works at the CIA with both her father and her boyfriend. I'm just going to leave it at that. I know it doesn't do it justice, does it?
No, please. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Now, I just want to mention some of the...
I'm writing it down. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Some of the plot lines I'm leaving out for our listeners in case they think that seems pretty tame. Sydney, as a child, was part of Project Christmas, a wide-scale brainwashing operation designed to identify super spies while they were in elementary school.
JJ, can I just jump in here? This is Liz. Should we be worried that Leah knows every detail of every plot? You've been on for two complete seasons, right?
Yes, we have.
Yeah, and you have. I just want you to realize how much you have taken over her life.
No,
she's hoping her kids are going to be selected for Project Christmas.
I am beyond flattered this is happening. So,
okay, Sydney's roommate, the mild-mannered restaurant owner Francie, was in fact a body double. In reality, she was a secret agent transformed by a scientific process known as the double helix.
Wow, you're amazing.
And then, finally, just one other plot line I wanted to mention.
Just to be clear, her roommate actually was, you know, her roommate and the restaurant owner, but she was doubled. So she was the valid, real person who became, she was killed and replaced. So it wasn't as if she all along had been some kind of, you know, double.
Good point. She was murdered and then replaced by
I just want to make sure that that's clear, because I'm sure your listeners are like, you know, now they get the whole thing.
I was just impressed with the use of the word doppelganger in the press materials to describe that, Jake.
Well, that was an episode of our show, Doppelganger. So, you know, it's, I'm just impressed by literally the fact that you would mention Project Christmas. These are great details that I love that you
that know. Normal people don't get hung up on.
And then this is my favorite. Sydney discovered recently that her mother was not, in fact, dead, but she's a former KGB operative who tricked her father into marrying her to get information out of him. And then she comes back. She turns herself into the CIA. She gains their trust again. She gains Sydney's trust. And then she humiliates them and betrays them and manages to escape from, like, the CIA.
JJ, how could she do that?
Oh, my Lord. This is unbelievable. This is remarkable. Now,
you know,
I'm afraid that listeners who don't know the show are going to be scared away.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and
for
chilling
sure.
there
yes.
with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free-for-a-year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? And that's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
Oh, I know. I don't want them to be.
All right.
Okay. Is this a good time for new people to jump in?
Well, the despite what they just heard.
Yeah.
Yes, this is actually the best time ever, because we left Sydney Bristow at the end of last season in this, you know, horrifying predicament, which is that she, having just battled this woman who she believed to be her roommate, she is rendered unconscious. And when she wakes up, she is suddenly finding herself in Hong Kong, not knowing what the hell is going on, and gets to a CIA safe house where she, you know, she contacts the CIA. They send her to the safe house. And her, you know, her lover, who's also a CIA operative, shows up to inform her that that not only has, you know, 2 years passed since she, you know, was rendered unconscious, but, you know, he's now married, and you just get a sense that her whole life is changing. So when you meet her again this season, we're finding her in exactly the same moment where we left her. And for Sydney and for new viewers, this landscape, the relationships between, you know, Sydney and these other people, the bad guys and sort of what they're up to, everything is new. Everything is slightly not what it used to be. So Sydney is very much, you know, catching up. So if you've never seen the show before, this is the ideal time to you know, tune in, because for Jennifer Garner's character, she is, for the first time in the show, starting off kind of with a blank slate and needing to figure out exactly what the hell's going on.
You know, and I know how, I love how you say Jennifer Garner's character, because JJ, I have actually my own theory that Jennifer Garner, the actress who plays Cindy Bristow, is in fact a CIA operative.
Really?
I mean, what better cover would there be to pretend to play one on TV?
That
I mean, come
probably
on.
A good story in and of itself.
I know
Liam actually has some other storylines she wanted to suggest to you
excellent.
A little later in the discussion.
I know
Jason.
You're trying
you're
to.
You're going to be sorry you opened that door.
That's right. I know you're trying to hide this, but now she's doing, quote unquote, a training tape for the CIA, Jennifer Garner, in real life.
Is that
life.
True?
Yes. The actress is really doing a training. Oh, come on. She's clearly a CIA agent hiding behind her television camera. It's just, it's brilliant TV writing, JJ.
And Liam is confessing that she is now almost completely living vicariously through Sydney Bristow and the actress Jennifer Garner.
Well, that's not exactly true, Liz. I just find that the characters on the TV show Alias are particularly compelling. Now, JJ, how do you make that happen? It really is kind of a relationship show, even though you have things like jet-packed luges also as part of the plot.
Well, I think that the, you know, for me, when I came up with this notion for the show, the idea of doing a spy show didn't immediately appeal to me. What did appeal to me was this show about these, you know, this incredibly dysfunctional, screwed up family, this heartbreak of having lost someone that you love, in Sydney's case, someone to whom she was engaged, and sort of finding a new love and kind of finding that kind of optimism and romance in your life when you feel like it'll never happen again. And I love that idea of, you know, having lost a parent and then finding a parent, you know, discovering that parent actually was still alive. That was a story that I thought was interesting. And so for me, it was never about the spy stuff. And the more that personal stuff started to sort of germinate and you know, kind of simmer in my head, the more interesting it got for me. The spy stuff, which I love, and I you know, genre shows, whether it's, you know, horror, science fiction, you know, this kind of spy game stuff, I love all that kind of stuff. So for me, it was a great opportunity to sort of do two things at once, to do the kind of secret personal story stuff that I love, and then also do the kind of genre stuff that's really fun.
Well, you, many people might not know, but you created also Felicity, which was a show almost entirely about relationships. I love that show.
Well, thank you. I mean, the thing about Felicity that was a challenge, and it was frustrating, actually, was that when you got into the third and then fourth seasons of the show, and you're doing episode 60, 70, 80, you know, of that series, you're desperate for stories. You're like, okay, you know,
get me the jetpack luge.
Exactly. I started to think, in fact, Alias really sort of was born out of looking at Felicity and saying, you know, if Felicity were a spy, you know, she'd go off and do this stuff, come back. She couldn't tell Ben or Noel, these two guys in the show. Like she, you know, and the stories would be, you know, this great kind of duplicit life. And it would just suddenly be this fascinating issue of identity and the adventures she'd be having, the audience would be in on, but her friends wouldn't be. And I just thought, well, that's another show. So I went off.
Did you write it with Jennifer Garner in mind?
Well, I knew Jennifer. I cast her in Felicity, and I loved working with her. And she was just, you know, terrific and incredibly smart and just someone you want to work with. And so when I was writing it, my wife was just, you know, I remember she was saying to me, you know, she's going to be a huge star, you know, you better cast her and so on. And I wrote this thinking of that, but not for her. I kind of wrote it because I want, you know, if you think of an actor, for me, if I think of an actor when I'm writing something, it sort of lessens the character because I start to think, oh, well, it's that actor. And I need to kind of not think of an actor in order to sort of make the character come to life in my head. But she was always in the back of my mind. And as soon as I wrote it, you know, I said to her, look, I got this thing. You got to come in. I gave her a script, and she auditioned. It was, you know, spectacular.
Do you plot out the whole season in advance? Because it's such a complicated storyline. You've got a lot of moving parts. I mean, how many writers do you work with, and do you plot it out so you know? Like, do you know now what happens at the end of the season?
Yeah, well, we have 9 writers, and the way it works is we, at the beginning of the season, we plot out in sort of broad strokes where we want to go and what the sort of tentpole sort of episodes might be. And then we start working on the actual episodes themselves. And as we do that, I always sort of compare it to hiking in the fog, in that you kind of know where you're going, you sort of see it, but until you get closer to the summit, you can't really make it out how you're going to get there. And the closer you get, the more you start to realize, wait a minute, there's this path I never anticipated, I better take that. And you might even discover that the summit you saw at the base of the mountain isn't even the top of the mountain, and you discover there's a whole other thing you want to get to. So my point is, you need to know where you're going to start moving at all. But the closer you get to it, the more you need to be flexible to say, wait a minute, this thing isn't happening the way I thought it would. Look at that story. That's cool. For example, we've cast actors to be in the show mm-hmm. that we thought would be in one episode, and that would be it. And suddenly we're thinking, wait a minute. For example, a character of Sark, played by David Anders, he came on. He was 20 years old. He did this, you know, this one role. He was so confident, so cocky, and so...
He's only 20 years old. We're talking to J.J. Abrams, the creator of Alias, about the new season. Sark is only 20?
He's 21 now. His name is David Anders. He's from Oregon. He's this, you know, the sweet guy, and he plays this incredibly cocky English spy. And he was so good and just so inspiring for me because I just thought, God, I want to write for this guy. And he became a regular on the show.
Well, see, I don't believe anything you say. I can't believe that guy's really from Oregon. I know that he's really Sark.
Isn't that incredible?
Lian's so bought into this whole idea. JJ, it's Liz. Is it really fun, because you can have these outlandish plot lines, mm-hmm. is it fun to just sit around and sort of make up, like, sort of get yourself down a certain path plot-wise and then say, no, then we can just wipe the whole thing out, or then she can single-handedly bring down the 747 all by herself?
Well, I got to say, the fun of the show is that because you can do these extreme things, the fun of it is finding the whatever feels true to you. I mean, we might have something that is outlandish, you know, as Sydney's got to, as you said, you know, be on this airplane
in a Merry Widow, yes. Which is good working clothes. Yeah,
there you go. But she, you know, and then she got to figure out a way to sort of defeat the bad guys on the plane. The plane goes down, she escapes. I mean, that's crazy, big, you know, movie type stuff. The fun of this show is thinking about moments that feel true and honest and character-driven, and then with that sort of, you know, weave in stuff that is typically giant action set piece, you know, unlike television. And the fun of the show, and it's a weird tone, and it's a very odd kind of a show, but I think that the fun of it is we get to do this sexy, you know, spy drama with, you know, great fights, amazing effects, and costumes and locations, but the core of that show are people and characters that you can relate to. So you might not be a spy, but you know, you will definitely relate to what it's like to, you know,
to work for your father,
right?
Or definitely want to be, you know, be with someone, you know, romantically, and having, you know, either a work or a personal obstacle, and all those kinds of things are, I think, entirely relatable.
Well, you have great actors. First of all, could I just request for the third season? I know you've gotten like 22 Emmy nominations on the show, and you probably don't need me to tell you what to do. But I would love to see Victor Garber sing this season. You have such a fantastic voice and such a talent in musical comedy.
You're so right. And,
yeah.
And it's something we've actually talked about, and the question is, you know.
You've actually talked about that?
Have you really?
And the question is where and how do we do it? So
yeah.
It's crazy.
And he plays Sydney's father.
Yes,
right.
That are not following along that closely.
Right. And then her mother is played by the fabulous Lena Olin.
Yeah, she's terrific.
Now, is she going to be around a lot this season? Because, you know, she disappeared.
Is she coming back?
Yeah.
Yeah, what we're doing right now is we're talking to Lena about how and when this will work out, because she lives in New York. The deal was always for her that she was going to be going back and forth for the first season she would be on. And, you know, we'd sort of see what happens. And her husband is a director who often goes on location. She has children in New York. She lives there. So schedule-wise and time-wise, it's, you know, it's just a challenge, and we're working on that. We're desperate to have her back. We love her.
She's plus, she looks like she spends a lot of time at the Kremlin, too. So that might be hard to schedule.
She is, I mean, I got to tell you, not only do they look, you know, alike, Jennifer and Lena, but Lena is the most, you know, elegant and intelligent and just gorgeous actress I've ever known. I mean, she's just remarkable.
Well, the premiere is this Sunday, September 28th, 9 o'clock on ABC. We have just a short time left. Can you give us just a grain, just a hint, JJ, of what might happen?
Well, you know, Sydney comes back and she is confronted with, you know, some of the most incredible, horrific challenges ever. But I got to say,
I can't believe it. Poor Sydney. What a life.
Well, I got to say that it is. What I think is fun about the first, you know, chunk of episodes is that they are, I think, as sort of, you know, intense and as, you know, I think they're as fun and as sort of sexy and you know, and scary. Because let me just say this: at the end of the first episode, Sydney learns a horrific secret about something that happened to her over the 2 years she was missing, and it just spins her whole life in a new direction. And it's just, I think, the end is incredible.
Thanks for listening. You're the best.
For more You're the Best Encore interviews or Satellite Sisters podcasts,
go to satellitesisters.com or iTunes. And don't forget, call your satellite sister.
Call your satellite sister.
Call your satellite sister.